Hi everyone, this is Mona from The Gems and you are watching CMS TV.
Chris Aiken Presents, and I, of course, am Chris Aiken, and on the show today, we are going to be talking about a band that is rising like the Phoenix, so to speak. Their album is called Phoenix. It is a band formed from most of another band that a lot of you know I loved, Thunder Mother. The band is called The Gems, and here to talk all about The Gems and the Phoenix record is the guitarist, Miss Mona Lindgren. Mona, how are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, Mona, as I said in the beginning, I was a fan of what you guys were doing before. I'm a bigger fan of what you're doing now, just because there are some different twists and turns in it, which we will get to. But why don't we start kind of at where you are now? Obviously, it's been a crazy time for you ladies. So talk about, you know, how this band came together and what happened to where this band had to come together.
Yeah, first of all, I'm really happy to hear that you really enjoy what we are doing. And that makes us very happy. And we were in Thunder Mother, for all of you who didn't know. And we were touring with the Scorpions in the last year, right, the end of 2022. Just after this big tour, things kind of fell apart and we went separate ways with our former band, and we always wanted to play in a band and take rock music to the mainstream scenes again. It's our dream, right, too, that rock and roll should be as big as it was in the 80s, you know. And it was a very rough beginning of 2023 for us, but we decided to start turn a fresh page and just hit the ground running and create a new band, right. And we formed the Gems, and the name is from our initials, Gernik, Emily, and Mona, and we worked very hard, and we recorded our debut album in July. We wrote all the songs in the spring, and here we are with our debut album.
Right on. Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel, and not necessarily with fans, but maybe more with the industry, does it feel like you're starting over, or do people know where you're coming from? And obviously, like you said, you're on tour with the Scorpions. That's a huge tour.
Yeah.
People know that. So do you maybe not have to start all over from step one, where people are kind of looking at you as sort of that band that was touring with the Scorpions?
In some ways, no. And in some ways, yes.
Okay.
We still have all our friends and the contacts and the partnership with the people in the industry. And we still have our fans, which are fans of us personally. and they will like support us whatever we do. It almost feels like, and we're so happy for them. But in other ways, it's very hard in the music business, and they always look at the hard ticket sales, you know. And as a completely new name, as we are a completely new band, and we kind of need to start, maybe not from scratch, but we need to start from this
from the beginning, from lower level
to. And we've had a big challenge to really get the brand out, and that's the hard work to get the name out to the people, so they will come to the shows, so we can get all these hard ticket sales, so we can get the bigger festivals, and sure. You know, it's both.
Right. Okay. Well, the one thing I know from listening to Phoenix is you ladies still have the sound that you had. I mean, that was your sound.
Yeah.
But what I hear though is that you've really, and I don't know if it's on purpose or if it's just the way you've developed with, you know, a different lineup, there are some new styles and some new twists and turns musically in this than there were with the previous album that you guys were on. Was that indeed on purpose, or is that just kind of how you guys wrote in a new environment?
Yeah, I know that that Emily and Garnica felt a little bit inside a box, like their creativity, they could not let their creativity float in the previous band as they would want to. It could be like Emily maybe wasn't allowed to like play the drums as she wanted, because that would sound, no, don't do anything weird, you know. It was a bit, I know that they felt it was a bit toxic situation in the creative process, and we just wanted to let that go and but still have some boundaries, but let the creativity be free in this project. Sure. And just listen to everyone's ideas and process them, and if you don't like anyone's idea, you can meet halfway and you can create something that's even cooler. So yeah, I think it's more sure. It's more free now. Yeah,
right on. Is that the reason why the record is so surprisingly long? Because it is long, 16 yeah. songs. That's very long in today's day. Is that because you had so many ideas that maybe you couldn't have fleshed out before because you were limited, like you said, in a box with Thunder Mother?
Yeah, there are a lot of songs. And to be honest, we are forced by the contract to release a 45 minute album. You can see it's 45 minutes 10 seconds.
Okay.
And at the same time, we want to create songs that suits for streaming and radio, like rock radios. And nowadays all these songs are shorter. They tend to be 3 minutes mm-hmm. and more efficient, you know. You get to the chorus faster and whatever. But at the same time, we wanted to create a great album with a good storyline that you could follow. And I think we managed to do that, because we managed to glue together some songs with interludes, because I think it would be too, for example, Undiscovered Paths to Ease Your Pain. That's a big gap. Sure. In between those songs. So it's why Maria's song, the interlude with the violins, it glues together these songs so well. And it takes you from one feeling into another feeling just before the emotional ballad. And I'm actually very happy that we did a long album, because we are a new band and we need to present ourselves and show all the sides of our music. So it's good that we have 16 songs, so we have quite a few songs now. Yeah,
And it gives everybody a lot of stuff to choose from, which is definitely a good problem to have, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. Certainly. Well, Mona, tell me a little bit about the artwork, because if nothing else, the first time you see the artwork, you have to stop to see what it is. I mean, it is definitely eye-catching, which I'm sure is on purpose. Tell me a little bit about the cover art for the album.
Yeah, we wanted to have something where we looked like superheroes and right. Just take back this aesthetic with a hubris almost, like Kiss always presented themselves like superheroes, and that we were very inspired by the Kiss artworks, and also we wanted to show something that looked like big, like the sky is the limit. That's why we have this fade, you know, it almost looks like it fades to the sky, and it looks a bit, I think we have small like stars, it looks a bit like universe vibe there, and then we have the stones, we're standing on the stones, that's just a fun thing, you know, we call ourselves the gems, it is our initials, but it's also the gemstones, so we put in some gemstones in the bottom.
Right, certainly. And,
we wanted something colorful, and we the colors, they symbolize the phoenix, because we didn't want to put the phoenix in people's faces, like that's too much. Uh-huh. The album is phoenix, and we represent the phoenix with the fiery colors. So we have the gold and the pink, the red. So the colors represents the phoenix. Yeah.
Right on. Last time I'm going to mention Thunder Mother for this, I promise, but I have to know, is it important for you guys to use, to use the reputation that you built previously with Thunder Mother, or is it more important to distance yourself from that brand and fully establish yourselves only as the Gems due to how that project ended?
I just want to mention, I forgot to mention, it's Giorgia Cartieri that made the cover. She also made the logo. She was also a member of Thunder Mother, the lineup before us. Yeah. But the next question, I think to be as smart as possible and to make use of the momentum that we helped building with our previous band, of course we want to use everything we can that's in our favor, and don't use the thing that's not in our favor.
Okay.
You know, we've got quite a lot of free PR by like mentioning our previous band that we were part of building. As I was only there for 2 years, but Garnik and Emily, they have spent like everything on that band, and Thunder Mother would not be as big without their work. So I think it's right.
Yep, agree. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, Mona, let's take a little break here. We're going to play the video for Fruits of Our Labor. Tell me a little bit about this song.
It's a song we wrote together with Per Aldeheim, a songwriter. And it's about the moment when you realize your dreams come true. It's the moment when you where you get to experience everything you fought for and worked for. Like after all the bumps in the road, you're finally there and experiencing your dreams. And it's a lot of guitar-driven song. Very
absolutely.
Nice.
Yep. It's definitely a fun one. So let's let people check it out right now. This is Fruits of Our Labor. It is the Gems from Phoenix right here on Chris Aiken Presents. I've never seen this her face.
I've been fighting from below, trying to get all the pieces, all the fall into place. Yeah, save all the friends of my labor. Did you ever doubt it? Watch me now, watch me now.
Right back here on Chris Aiken Presents, we are chatting with the Gems guitarist, Miss Mona Lindgren. And Mona, let's dig into the record a little bit. I'm going to start where I always do with my favorite song on the record. I love the song Domino. Just, I love that deep groove. I love the guitar tone that you've captured perfectly on this song. Talk a little bit about this song, and did you guys purposely work to catch that groove? Because it's a very groove-oriented song.
Yeah, we wrote that song very early in the spring together with our producer, Johan. And he had this idea with a riff. And I took it and completely changed it to this picking thing. So I made this riff sound like a ZZ Top riff instead, and we thought it was a cool idea because we really tried to mix the old style guitar with the modern sound, like the modern production. We thought it was a cool twist of the song, and I think we wrote that song very fast, like in a afternoon or something.
Oh wow.
And yeah, it's really cool, and it works very good live. People love to hear it live.
Very good. The other one I wanted to ask you about is one that you already mentioned earlier, Undiscovered Paths, which is so very different from anything anybody might expect from you. It's a very different song. Tell me about that song, and did that one take longer to write because it is so different from pretty much everything on this record and anything that I've heard from any of you in the past?
Yeah, that song was written 11 years ago, I think, the music. It was a song for me and Emily. We had a band way back, and we were inspired by Muse.
So, okay.
And we just remembered this song, like, what about that song? I found this song in my hard drive, like the melody and music is kind of cool, but we need to remove the synthesizer, like the Muse sequence synthesizer. Sure. And we had all of the Muse stuff in it. And I mean, the lyrics were horrible, because I think I wrote the lyrics. Yeah, imagine a 20-year-old with very bad English wanting to write very deep and poetic lyrics. I mean, that was just a disaster, the lyrics. So we just gave the music and the melody to Guernica. Like, Guernica, can you make sense out of this? Like, come up with new lyrics for this one, if it's possible. And like, do your thing with the melody. Like, do whatever feels good to you. So we rewrote it together, and it became Undiscovered Paths.
Right, certainly. Is so, Guernica, I need to ask just because I don't know, is Guernica like an American-born person?
Yeah, you can always
I've interviewed her, and she speaks perfect English.
Yeah, she lived in Los Angeles for, I think, 4 years. So she went to MI, and she did the artist performance program at MI, and I think she studied a year extra also in music business.
Okay.
And she really focused on getting the melody right in the language.
Right.
She worked really hard on her English when she lived there.
And, sure.
She sounds like an American.
She does. She really does. And I'm going to guess that has to be super convenient for you guys to have somebody that speaks so fluently to write music that will sound fluent.
Yeah, she can always see, like, no, you can't say that. You don't say that, but you can write this way. And she's very good at the writing texts. Also, she's very good at formulating nice things to write. Like, sure. If you were writing biography or all the like the captions, she's really good at writing captions and the descriptions of the songs and, you know, whatever. She's a very good writer.
Absolutely. Well, for you as a band, as the Gems, you know, clearly you guys have played together for a while, even before the Gems. Do you still feel like you're growing musically, or do you feel like you're in the spot where you know what you're trying to create?
We will definitely grow.
Okay.
Because talking about songwriting, we wrote this album in very short amount of time.
Okay.
I think it's more normal to write during a year or something. We just squeezed in all the songwriting in the spring, and at the same time we were building up all the other things that comes with a band, the brand, the logo, homepage, merchandise, right. Shows, all the contracts and partners. I think that was both good and bad. It's good because we managed to get debut album out in as soon as we could, and but at the same time, if you have a longer time to write for your album, you will maybe find your way more. I think the next album we will probably narrow down in some direction, but we're not sure yet because we're such a new band. We only existed for 1 year. There are bands that existed for 20 years and they really found their way, you know, their sound.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it too, you guys are probably, I would imagine in this year, and we'll talk about it here in a second, but I'd imagine you're going to tour a lot more in this coming year. And a lot of times with most bands, especially new bands, you grow to where all these songs will probably sound very different by the end of the tour than they do today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, songs are like living organisms. They develop themselves as you play them live, and you find out you do live versions of the songs. We actually did live versions of some of the songs because on the album they can be very short and powerful and effective, but maybe live you want to rest more. You maybe don't want the second verse to start as soon as the chorus ends. Maybe you want to groove a little bit longer or whatever. And we have interludes live too, and we make them a little bit longer because that suits the set. And
right.
Yeah, it develops.
Absolutely. Well, Mona, what are the touring plans for 2024? You have a new record. I imagine you want to get out there as quick as as possible. So what are your plans?
Yeah, we just posted a little teaser that we will... we posted an announcement that we will make an announcement in March.
Okay.
That's so stupid. But yeah, we will tour Europe in the fall. And we will play some festivals this summer, and we are planning for America further on.
Okay.
Because that will take a little bit more time to set up properly. It's sure.
And you got to raise a lot of money to come over here these days, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I understand that. Well, Mona, obviously you have this great new record, The Gems. The album is called Phoenix. And where should we tell people to go online to keep up with you guys and tour dates and buy merch and all that stuff?
I think a good start is our Instagram.
Okay.
Thegems.music. And we have a homepage, thegems.se.
Okay.
And if you visit our YouTube channel, we will put up a lot of cool like covers and like acoustic versions. And we have something special coming up for our YouTube channel also. We will begin to post some mini documentaries about the songs. Oh, cool. There will be some behind the scenes from the studio also.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, Mona, one more time. The album is called Phoenix. It is The Gems. And I figured what we would do is we would wrap this interview up by playing the video for Psycho, which is another really great, fun song. So tell me about this song and this video to wrap it up.
The song is, we wanted to make a fun party track with a fun theme. So it's a celebration of all of some of energy vamps that you can find when you go out.
Right.
You know, sometimes you just get stuck and it's like talking to a wall or something, and or like annoying people. Just raise a toast for all the annoying people you know of.
Right. Certainly.
And the music video is just a mess. It's you had the jazz band and their manager in it.
Right. Right.
And then you have the pink girls. They are all psychos. And
so it's just a lot of psychos. That's really what it is. Nice. Well, let's check it out right now. This is Psycho from The Gems. And Mona, thanks so much for joining me here on Chris Aiken Presents.
Take me out.
Do you want to watch the classic metal show all day long? Do you have a Roku? If your answers are yes and yes, then you need to get Wowza TV on your Roku. It's free to install and brings you the classic metal show on your TV 24/7. Just look up and install Wowza TV in the Roku streaming store, and you can enjoy the CMS all day and night right on your TV. Yes, folks, this includes the live editions of the CMS as well. Install Wowza TV now on your Roku and never be without the classic metal show again. Hail and Kill.